When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan, Portland sports leader, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, and YouTube. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope your commute's going well. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the old radio program. We will talk with Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks, NFL draft expert at 7:30.
Flying under the radar for me because of the Blazers. Like, I know it's there. I know it's tomorrow. I've been following the news, reading as much as I can. And then I'm like, yeah, God, it's right. It's tomorrow.
I think that's happening for a lot of people, but we have so many football sickos in the country that I think they're like, hey, the Blazers are great. You know the NFL draft, though.
Who's going number two overall? Todd McShay sending me mixed signals right now.
Ah, is it Bailey? Is it Reese? I don't know.
Also a very uncomfortable place with a guy who has a gambling read on his show telling you, my sources are telling me, and then he's giving you two different players to be the number two overall pick.
Yeah, it's very odd.
That's a little weird.
So we'll talk with Benjamin Robinson coming up at 7:30. We've talked all Blazers the whole show. Had a little fun on the Dundon stuff. The only thing he's gotten right so far for people is he's canceled Bigfoot.
Yep, Bigfoot is gone. Well, reportedly going to be gone. Not officially yet. Is he going to be at Game 3 on Friday night?
I think if it pops up, he's definitely going to get rid of it.
Before Game 3 would be really funny. Whoever's, how much do you think a mascot makes a year?
Well, the really good ones, we've looked this up before, the really good ones make good six figures.
Good six figures?
Yeah, like the guy in Phoenix.
Yeah, the gorilla.
Remember the Nugget guy when he propelled down and he was knocked out?
I do remember that,
Those ones, the really popular ones, I think those ones make good six-figure salaries because they're doing kind of crazy crap.
I feel like the Blazer Trail Cat can lay down an alley-oop in the alley-oop lineup every now and then. Like he
does the dunk thing sometimes.
Yeah. He jumps trampoline in. Everybody jumps. He tosses it off the backboard. Yeah. Like he can do that. Can Squatch do that? I don't think he's got those skills,
Squatch,
man.
Just walks around like, kick it in the butt.
I'm new.
So the Blazers get the road win yesterday, 106-103.
Woohoo!
And they were led by Scooter Henderson.
As we all predicted.
We will talk about that. A little more on Splitter. So Tiago Splitter, big night for him. His name's popped up pregame because he's asked in the pregame. I think Hyken asked him, hey, man, you're having to navigate all the noise and there's reports about you and not getting offered a certain amount and all that. And he said, basically, to sum it up, stay off social media.
Yes.
All I can do is lock into the locker room.
That's
here
it.
Is Tiago Splitter post-game on the emotions of winning a game two.
It is awesome. This is why we do this, to have games like this, to experiment, wins like this. I told him before the game, I mean, all the stuff that we went throughout the season is to get to these moments and, you know, and have fun. Go there and hoop, you know, go there and ball. And the guys did that.
And they did do that. They ended up coming back from 14 points down. On the splitter note, I thought this was an interesting takeaway. I know a lot of people I think are in on splitter, and
yeah,
they're not liking what's coming out about the way Dundon's conducting this and the low ball offers, all this and that. But I think this is an important clip. So they win last night. It's an emotional. It's a big win. Wemby's out. We don't know the future of Wemby in the series now. Everything feels like it's shifting. It's certainly shifting back to Portland for games 3 and 4. Here's Denny Avdija on his head coach.
Yeah, I think he got thrown in a difficult situation. You know, it wasn't easy for him to kind of just all of a sudden take the head job. But I think he does, he's done phenomenal. Phenomenal things. He's getting the best out of everybody. He's believing in each and single one of his players, and I feel like we love playing for him. You know, he's a winner. He's a competitor. He knows how is it to win a championship, and you can see it. He's passionate, and he got all the tools to be a great coach, and that's what he's doing. He's doing a good job.
I don't think it's an accident, Dirt, that he says this on that night specifically. I also think you watch that team play, and they do give a lot of effort, and they come up short sometimes, but they win last night. They come back.
Even game one was a great example of that. They never really gave up. They kept playing hard the entire time.
Yeah, that's a close 13-point loss, if that makes any sense. In the NBA, 13-point losses is just a difference of a few shots.
Yes.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Denny says all that. They come out and play as hard as they do. They win game two. Given what was kind of out and been out now for a couple weeks, I think this is the locker room. Not that you should let a locker room decide you're hired, but I think there's a locker room that's clearly telling Dundon and the people in charge in a roundabout way, like, this dude means a lot to us.
Yep.
Look at our effort. Look at how we play. They win last night in San Antonio.
Are they haul in for Tiago Splitter? Is that what you're telling me? Are they crystal balling for this to be the permanent head coach?
They're certainly not split.
They're not split
on Tiago.
On Tiago Splitter. I mean, that has to mean something. Does it mean everything? No. And you shouldn't let the players dictate exactly who the hire will be. But having the support inside the locker room does make his candidacy much stronger. I said in the last segment, my mind's not going to change a ton, no matter how the rest of the series goes. I think if Wemby stays healthy last night, Portland probably loses the game, probably covers, and it's close and competitive. Now, all of a sudden, the best player maybe on the planet, but definitely in the series, goes down, and all of a sudden, you're like, dude, they might pull this thing off. This is pretty wild. It's not going to change my opinion, though, either way. I think he's a fine head coach. I'm not going to have an issue if they keep him around. As that Denny Avdija clip points out, he's certainly beloved inside that locker room by those players. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, as frustrating as the rotations were for me last night, like, Chris Murray to me is just unplayable in every sense of the word. Jeremy Grant, you wouldn't argue he's a vet. Okay, fine. He should not have played 20 minutes last night. He was terrible. Shaden should have played more than 13 minutes. I thought his 13 minutes, he was good defensively. He had a block at the rim. He was knocking down a couple of shots. Like, I thought his burst in the first half was really strong. He should have played more minutes. But on the other side of that, I will give him credit, because I feel like there's times where he's been rigid in his rotations and he hasn't gotten away from what the pregame plan was. And Scoot Henderson playing the way he was playing, like, that has to go out the window. What did Scoot play in game one?
20-something? Yeah, 20-some minutes.
20. He played 38 minutes last night.
That's debatably the most. I don't know if that's
27
the most.
Minutes in game one, and he had a good run in game one. He was 7-11, 18 points.
The second best player.
I was frustrated, though, because it felt like he would have a turnover, and then you would get sat immediately, and he ended up having a couple of turnovers last night in the game. He's always going to, but he allowed him to have that run. They ran plays for him in the second half of the game, and so I didn't know if that was a part of the game plan going in. I'd imagine it wasn't, and all of a sudden you're adjusting in the second half, because clearly he was their best player last night and carried the team from start to finish.
I think Blazer fans have noted this, too, about him, and I'll give him credit, because we had people texting in at the end of the regular season because we were talking about Scoot, and Scoot's been a kind of a lightning rod topic. And I'm not going to lie, dude. I've had mostly like, this is good. Let's be patient. It's a point guard position. It's tough to learn.
Right.
And even though coming back from the injury, I'm pretty sure I said out loud, like, I'm not going to really have much of a takeaway. There's not enough games. I think by the back end point, he was playing so poorly that I'm like, dude, I don't feel great. And
you're in your third year in the league, and they're still, I know you were banged up. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You had not seen that jump yet.
It was hard.
From a consistency standpoint.
Yes, I think it was hard to just confidently say you'd see what you saw last night in the moment of the regular season. But people had noted throughout the journey, you know, he's starting to kind of look something defensively. His hands are really good. He's pretty smart. His IQ of, like, reading where teams want to go with the ball. He had a couple plays, but he had that play where they were on a breakaway, and Fox has the ball, and you're like, this is a lob to Wemby.
Yes.
And he knew Wemby was behind him, jumps up, deflects the ball out of bounds. He stops an easy dunk. He had a block from behind. So it's just, he just looks like a different player. And I think if you were out on Scoot, I'm not going to kill anybody out in whatever. It's hard when you have long regular season sports. Baseball deals with this all the time. When you give up on somebody, when you continue to believe or continuing to have the optimistic view versus it doesn't feel like it's going well, here's my pessimistic view.
Right.
It's hard because there's so many damn games and you get these sample sizes of, look at his last eight games. He's shooting 30% from three and he's averaging 8 points. And now look at this 15 stretch. He's averaging 15 points and he's shooting 37%. And
yeah.
It's difficult. So I don't blame anybody. It's more just like, to me, last night, he not only led them, like didn't follow Denny, he led them.
He was the best player on the floor. You could argue in the first quarter, even before Wemby got hurt, he was the best player on the floor.
He looked as confident as any other player on the court. I'll say that. His confidence, his demeanor, his swagger, he's getting into it with Castle. He's screaming at people on the sidelines.
Him and Harper, like, were going back and forth, dude, in the second half.
He has an air to him.
Yeah.
That he understands his playoff time, and he's certainly delivered in their first two games, especially with last night in leading the way with 31 points, 11 of 17, 5 of 9 from 3 in 38 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I made the analogy earlier, and I will reiterate it, that I think what made that game so special is not just that they won, and I know a big reason why they won was Wemby went down, but, like, I don't care, man. How many times have we gone through bad breaks, draft picks that couldn't stay healthy? Like, that's our entire lifetime as Blazer fans.
Our good breaks seem to be things that we like in the moment, but you look back and you go, I wish our breaks resulted in titles, but, like,
yeah.
PG's shoulders were super jacked up for that game that Dame walked off.
Yes, they were.
We beat the Clippers in 15 because Chris Paul broke his hand, and then Blake Griffin was also
both
hurt.
Of them, I believe, were out in that series.
So, like, if you tell me the Blazers can come back to Portland and hold serve on home court because Wemby doesn't play 3 and 4, and they somehow do win the series,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to take it all day. It just would be funny. Like, that's our break. It's like, hey,
and then
the
you
first
get smoked in
guys.
The second round of the playoffs because that team is healthy.
Maybe, or maybe this I'm is a different, you know, Scoot. We'll see.
No doubt about it. But what made it so special, I think, was that it wasn't a game, and I've brought this up at times in the second half of the year, where not every play-in or playoff situation feels the same, and there was a concern in my mind where some of the standout guys in this postseason run were going to be guys who I question whether or not they were a part of the long-term plan. Like, Jrue Holiday is in the back end of his career. He is not going to play very much longer. I don't know how long he's going to be in Portland. Jerami Grant, I hope his days are numbered here because I've been wanting him to trade him for 2 years.
I hope they don't get rid of Jrue. I'll walk my take
That's
back.
That's totally fine.
Joe Cronin, I think, was dead on to bring him in.
He's still, what, 37 years old, right? So 36, whatever, 35, I don't remember.
I think he's 35 because his contract, his last year he makes $37 million. I think he's
37 at 37.
Year.
He's got 2 more years left on his deal.
I think he's 35. Okay. And I only know that because I realized he was the same age as me.
He's like, hey,
oh, wow.
Jrue Holiday.
Good for you.
Yay, looking good out there,
good
Jrue.
For you.
He's got the toothpick in. But not that having those guys play well doesn't mean anything. It just means more to me when it's a guy like Scoot. And this is the big frustration in the second half, because I thought there was a moment in the first half, and it might have been before, I can't remember, before after Wemby went down, but Scoot obviously got off to that great start. And I thought Shaden, in his however many minutes, 9, 10, 8, whatever it was in the first half, I thought Shaden was fantastic, dude. He made a couple of shots. He had a couple of nice defensive plays. And there was just a moment watching the game of, like, man, Klingon also, by the way, like Brandon brought up Klingon yesterday, needing to have a bigger performance.
I thought he was great.
He was
last
great.
Night.
He was grabbing offensive rebounds. And I'm like, yes.
He was active, tipping balls.
These
to
are
get
our
rebounds.
Three top 10 picks, and they're all playing great in the biggest game of the year. That's a must win in order to have any hope left in the series. And Shaden obviously didn't play a ton in the second half. And they went more to Robert Williams in the second half, which is fine because we've talked about him being maybe a better matchup. But it just that meant a lot to me, that it was the young cats that were doing it. And Jrue has not had a very good series shooting the ball. Jerami Grant has been unplayable.
He's been terrible.
And so it's just like, man, Scoot doing that, good for him. What does it mean long term? Who the hell knows? Like, we had a Myers Leonard 40-point burger or 30-point or whatever it was.
We thought that was going to change his career.
Right, in game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. And so is this a Myers Leonard game that we look back and say, dude, remember that random time Scoot went for 30 and we beat San Antonio in game 2? Or do we look back at it and say that was a launching point? He now has the confidence to go do it. The one thing that rung true again last night, we talked about this a little bit out of game 1, not to steal a Dickie V phrase, but he's a PTPer. Like, there's just something about big games and big moments that he seems to show up and embrace the spotlight. I know we talked about after the game last night. He, like, it feels like a movie, and he's into all that stuff. So that's a very encouraging sign for a young player. But the question remains, what does it mean long term? And nobody has the answer to that.
So I looked it up. Shaden subbed in at 6:38 in the third quarter. I'm trying to see if he just finished out the whole third, because it's really, hey, of course my computer freezes.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, I'm like 99% sure he didn't play at all in the fourth.
Yes.
He got subbed out in the third, so he played about a 5-minute stretch in the second half.
So 8 minutes right, of the first.
Because I remember looking at halftime, and he had like 7 minutes to Chris Murray's
so,
eight, and then we were like, what the heck is going on?
So the interesting thing,
and
so,
then, yeah, I think he played that 6 minutes in the third.
I don't want to make this a big Nate. Like, it's a good day. They won on the road. I know we have a lot to get to, but it's fascinating seeing, dude, he was behind Matisse and Chris Murray off
yes,
the bench.
Was.
Like, I had to text, I text somebody, and I was like, did he get it? Because I'm not on social media as much.
Did he get hurt? Is there
an
injury?
I was like, did they announce something and I missed the announcement? Because the TV broadcast didn't say anything. I thought I saw a thing that all Blazers except Dame was good to go.
I did the same thing. Yes, I'm like scrolling Twitter like, did I miss an injury? And the one moment I stepped out of the room that he rolled an ankle and that's why he's not playing.
So we can talk about that aspect of it because now it's coming back. Series is tied 1-1, but I'm with you 100% on Scoot. All the things on Scoot, it's just like you feel happy for him because it hasn't gone the way you imagined he envisioned it when he got drafted third overall.
Yes.
So Scoot Henderson leading the way. A lot more on this. Benjamin Robinson at the bottom of the hour. Dirt and Sprague. We roll on hour number two on 105.1 The Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient. Meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
Fan. All right, we roll on hour number two here, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan, Portland sports leader. Dirt and Sprague with you on this beautiful hump day. We have a stat or story to get to in the final hour.
Yes, we do.
We're probably going to pause the Blazer conversation, which has been going on now for almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I know not everybody's here for the 6 a.m. hour, but we've been partying hard since 6 a.m.
How do you not? Big time win. They might win the series now.
Yeah. We have a neighborhood poll question up on this. I'm generally asking, as the second biggest honk at the station, I'll ask the question out loud.
You were number two on the big board.
With Wimby out and the series coming back to Portland tied 1-1, do you think the Blazers will win the series? That is our neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. Right now, early check-in, no, Spurs still too good at 87.5%.
That's a higher number than I thought it would be.
And yes, at 12.5%.
Yeah, I mean, I would still, you know me, bummer dirt over here. Let me come in and pee on your Cheerios. Good morning, everybody. I would still vote no. The way that I foresee it going is Wemby's not going to make the trip to Portland because I don't think traveling after you get a massive concussion is probably very good for your brain.
We know minimum he's – I mean, they haven't announced it.
He's
but
not going to play game three. And I think if I'm San Antonio, I will go in with the thought process of we beat this team 3 out of 4 times in the regular season without him.
We can do this on the road
at least
one time.
We damn near won game two without him, yeah. You know, after getting hurt 12 minutes into the game. All we need is a split in Portland, and then we're tied 2-2 and it's a 3-game series, and we got 2 out of 3 back at home, and he's back at that point. And the only trip he would have to make back to Portland would be then for game 6, which God knows how long that's. That's probably a month and a half from now based on NBA playoff scheduling. That would be my vote, is that they I think it's going to go longer, though, certainly than I gave it credit for. I thought a 5-game series initially, Wemby going down changes everything. And I would be surprised if Portland didn't win a game in Portland, but I don't know if I'm going to pick them to win both games and take a 3-1 series lead.
Well, it still could be a 5-game series. We just the one that went in 5.
That is very, very true.
The thinking you're using is logical and wouldn't shock me if the Spurs approach it that way, but dude, it'd be pretty wild if that's the approach and they go back to San Antonio down 3-1.
Would be crazy. But if you're in the Spurs organization, what's more important to you?
Well, it's Wemby's health.
Future health, right? Yeah. Like some people were pointing to, I guess Larry Bird had a very similar thing back in the day where he fell and hit his face on the floor and had a concussion. He left and then came back at halftime and like carried it, shockingly, Boston to a win in the playoffs. It's like, man, that's how much things have changed. But it was at the very end of his career.
It's also protocol in the league now.
Yes.
The league didn't know or care
in
what
that was. In 1991, we didn't know really what that
was. You got a headache, dude. Take some aspirin.
Don't be a bitch. Get your ass back out there, Larry. Go make a shot, all right? And guess what? He did.
Yeah, he did.
And he certainly did not end his career as the most healthy player. His body broke down. And so if I'm San Antonio, all I'm thinking about is Wemby 5 years from now, not Wemby 5 days from now.
So on the Shaden front, because I want to highlight the good here before we get to Benjamin Robinson.
Yes.
Shaden had a moment in the third that I noted, and I should have wrote the time stamp exactly, but he had a moment in the third. Denny drove, kicked it out. Shaden was wide open. Hesitate, pump fake, dribble in, pass the ball.
Yeah.
And that was like one of his last possessions before he checked out. I didn't know that would he'd sit the rest of the game.
Be the end of the line for him.
But I noted, like, you have to shoot that shot. And I thought he had shot the shots he was supposed to shoot the whole way up. And then he passed that one up. The way Tumani did that mid-range, I'm like, that looked weird.
Yes, he's certainly not. Tumani, I think, is a confidence standpoint. I don't know why Shaden would pass that
it
one
It looked
up.
Like on 2K when your controller broke mid-shot and then you're trying to hit the
it
buttons.
Did.
Or like, wait, no,
press
shoot
it,
the ball.
Press it, press it, press it. No.
The funny thing on both of them is I was texting with somebody, and when Shaden was not playing, I said, why is Chris Murray getting minutes before Shaden? And somebody said, defense. And instantly Chris Murray gets beat. Shaden comes in, and two possessions later, blocks somebody from behind. I went,
yes.
If that's my minimal defense, I'll take Shaden's offense over what Chris Murray can't do, which is shoot the basketball.
He cannot score.
And then in the second half, somebody was like, hey, what's going on with Tumani? And I said, I've seen this before, watched a lot of basketball. That's a man with broken confidence. And literally the next possession, he shot three and made it. And
yep.
I went, hey, I was right, and then I was wrong. And so both of them have kind of dealt with weird different things. But Shaden, clearly not in favor for Tiago Splitter right now, whereas Scoot absolutely has deserved and earned every second he's getting playing time-wise.
Yeah, it's frustrating because I think some guys get minutes ahead of them, just don't deserve it. They're not playing great basketball. Chris Murray primarily and Jeremy Grant, who's now like 1 of 15 in the series or whatever his numbers are.
Yeah, I just don't think Chris Murray, for me personally, I don't think Chris Murray is good enough defensively for me to say we
justified.
Should play Chris Murray over Shaden Sharpe's potential offense.
You can make that argument if you went from Matisse Thybulle. He did not make a shot. I don't know if he's made a shot in the series, but you can make the argument he's good enough defensively that it overcomes it, and that's why he should
moments,
get
minutes.
And so I understand that with the 100% on Chris Murray. It is, you know, we brought this up a couple times, like, because the conversations changed a little bit about Tumani late in the season because of how well he was shooting the ball in the last month, and he'd have these games where out of nowhere he was getting hot and going scorched earth and just couldn't miss. He's a very streaky shooter. That's who he's been.
Like, he just looks not confident until those threes, dude. He didn't want to shoot.
No.
He was nowhere to be found.
He was
0-for.
He couldn't do anything in game 1. He couldn't make a shot to save his life. Game 2, he was lost offensively in that game as well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he knocks down a couple threes. And so I think if you're hopeful, it's saying, all right, Tamani got that monkey off his back, if you will. He's got a little confidence going. Now he's coming back home. Like, it would not shock me in the least in game three or game four he has one of these 6 of 8 from three performances with 28 points. And you're like, oh, there it is, Tamani. I feel like when you go through his game logs this year, this is kind of who he's been. There's a three-game stretch where he shoots 87% from three, and then he goes 1 of 7, 1 of 6, 0 of 5, and then he goes 7 of 8, 4 of 6. And it's just up and down and up and down, and that's just kind of who he's been. And so he was lost offensively until they needed him most, and he knocked down a couple threes late in the game. Now you cross your fingers that carries over for game three.
Ding it to all of what we wanted to get to there with some of the others yesterday, guys who may not have lit the scoreboard on fire, but I thought played really well for Portland. So we'll talk about that when we get back into the Blazers at some point in the program. But coming up next, we'll pause our Blazer conversation because, again, it's been going on for an hour and a half. We'll get back into it. Wimby out. Blazers tied the series. I know. It's a big topic. NFL draft is tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
And we had scheduled an interview with our good friend Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mock. So he'll hop on. We'll talk a little NFL.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. And our next guest knows that well. He's grinding the mocks. Benjamin Robinson, our good friend. GrindingTheMocks.com. You find all his great work, analytics. He's also teamed up. He had this in March. His announcement of partnering with NFL's Next Gen Stats and AWS. That's a big move for
That's
him.
A massive move, man.
Benjamin Robinson, congratulations. Yeah. Continued success. Thanks for hopping back on. We got draft day tomorrow. And I want to ask you, if you take the Raiders off of the board, they're not an option here, of teams in the top 10, who is sitting in the sexiest possible position in your mind?
I appreciate the congratulations, guys. Yeah, it means a lot. I think the team that's sitting in the best possible spot, I think it's the Commanders, to be honest with you. And it's not just because I live in our nation's capital, but I think however the draft goes, they're either getting a top playmaker or a top defensive player. So, I think when they're on the board, they'll have the pick of a lot of players at high value positions. I think the buzz is Carnell Tate, the Ohio State wide receiver. That would make a lot of sense. But then you have like the top cornerback in the draft, Mansoor Delane from LSU, who's there. You can get the top safety in Caleb Downs if he's there, or maybe even another player like a top guy like Ohio State linebacker Sonny Styles. I think the Commanders are sitting pretty happy where they are. Given however this draft ends up happening.
Yeah, I love that example of where maybe a big-time guy could get grabbed at number 7. I'm curious, we saw a kind of rarity where a top 10 pick gets traded for a really good player, and it was Cincinnati to New York, and so now all of a sudden the Giants have the number 5 pick and the number 10 pick in the draft, and I'm just curious, from your perspective, how much that changes things? How much, do the Giants now take a gamble at 5 that maybe they wouldn't have if they didn't have the 10th pick in their back pocket? Do they trade one of those picks and move down? Like, what's kind of the intel, and what are your thoughts on the Giants now having 2 top 10 picks, which is kind of a rarity?
Yeah, you're asking a Cincinnati Bengals fan. I grew up in Cincinnati, and it feels very alien for them to do this type of thing. They're usually very risk-averse and conservative in almost everything. I think this doesn't change the draft in a super meaningful way, and I'll tell you why. I think it's mostly because of a lack of a second quarterback in this draft, in this first round, really. If that was the case, I think there'd be more of an opportunity for something to happen that would be like a curveball that would really change things. I think this draft will still be pretty chalky, relatively speaking. I think that the players who they were going to be considering at pick 5 are going to be the same guys. I think Sonny Styles is the favorite, and that's who I expect to go off the board there. I think he makes a lot of sense. I think whatever they want to do, if Caleb Downs is off the board at pick 10, they can pick an offensive tackle or a wide receiver. So I think they'll go with whoever their top player on their board is at pick 5, and then pick 10, they can be a little more nimble depending on what happens.
Yeah.
So I don't think it changes the color of the draft. I think some of the decisions, like I said, with Washington, that might be the big pick, because I think that at 7 and 10, Washington and New York are considering some of the same players there. So it's more bites of the apple, which is definitely something that this team needs. It's kind of rare to see a general manager over the course of his tenure have 2 drafts where he's making 2 top 10 picks. Joe Shane did that when he drafted Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau, the Oregon linemen, a few years ago, and now he has the opportunity to do that again. So I'm not sure if I see him drafting an Oregon guy this time.
Yeah. Benjamin Robinson, our guest here, grinding the mocks. The NFL draft is tomorrow. There's a lot to look at. You can find Benjamin on social media and also his website at Grinding the Mocks. Give it a follow. So you say it's Washington sitting in the sexiest position right there at number 7. I can't help but wonder, what is the draft at 4? Because we look at the Jets, we assume it's going to be probably Reese or Bailey. We know the Raiders are going Mendoza. I assume the Cardinals are just going to pick the best, hybrid edge rusher, whoever's available at 3. If that's the case, I don't know with confidence. I know where Tennessee's going. There's a lot of Jeremiah Love chatter, but their head coach is very defensive-minded, oriented. So is he going to go that way to improve the defense? What do you make of Jeremiah Love at number 4? Is that too much of a reach? Or is he truly, to you, that transcendent a player to say running backs that high don't always end well, but he is that good? Tennessee going there at number 4 is the right move to you?
If my business is to be predictive, that's what's sexy to me. And so being predictive is my goal. And so, over the years, we've seen players who are at lower value positions, like running back, linebacker, others, where they're ranked really highly on player rankings on big boards. Mm-hmm. And those guys, just regardless of position, are going to go really early. And so Jeremiah Love is thought of as like a top 5 player in this class. And therefore, those players tend to go in the top five. So for me, it's less about what I think should happen. I don't think the Titans should draft Jeremiah Love. I don't think that's going to suddenly transform their offense from being, you know, on the one of the worst in the league last year to being, you know, in the top half of the league this year. I think if anything, it would be Cam Ward improving that would push them over the top. I think a wide receiver would make a lot of sense for them. But it seems to me that their top three positions in my weighted mock draft data on Grinding the Mocks are running back, which is tied, you know, completely to Jeremiah Love. You know, edge rusher, which would be, you know, hey, does David Bailey get there? Do you think about Arvell Reese if suddenly he becomes available? Or the Sonny Styles. So to me, yeah, like running back is the I have about 45% of my weighted mock drafts are with running back. I don't think it's the right move, but I do think it's what will happen.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, on that note of predicting, you know, Oregon, you mentioned Kayvon Thibodeau a couple years ago going to New York. They're on a stretch where I believe 6 years in a row they've had a player taken in the first round. I know that will extend to seven. The question is, how many? And they've never had in the history of their program three guys go in the first round. So just on the predictive note, I'm curious what's the thought process on Sadiq, who has turned so many heads athletically. Dylan Thienemann, who I think just announced that he will be in Pittsburgh tomorrow for the first round of the NFL draft. And then a guy like Emmanuel Pregnon, who I've seen shown up, you know, back end of the first round, but also maybe dipping into the second round and going to a place like the Chargers, who desperately need offensive line help. What are you hearing on those three guys and the likelihood of them being all first round picks?
I think Sadiq and Thienemann are locks for the first round. You know, Sadiq has been a really interesting player. And so it's just hard to find a spot for him. I think there's a lot of mocks in like that 13 to 15 range, you know, the Rams, the Ravens, and the Buccaneers. I don't see him going in there. Just doesn't kind of feel like that's the spot for him. I have him going in my mock that I'm publishing later today on my Substack to the Cowboys at pick 20. And I also have Dylan Thienemann going to the Cowboys at pick 12.
Ooh.
So I could see them both being Cowboys. On Pregnon, he's kind of a borderline guy, but I have him as my third-ranked guard. I have him ranked 45th in my data right now. I think that's just that would be really surprising. I think he's more likely to be like a pretty early day two pick. Really solid player. I think if there is another guard that goes in the first round other than Vega Ioane from Penn State, it's more likely to be Texas A&M guard Chase Bisantis. So, but yeah. I could definitely see Pregnon going later in round one, but I think more likely it's early round two.
Yeah. Benjamin Robinson, our guest here of Grinding the Mocks. You can find the Substack. You can also find him on social media. He does an exceptional job covering the NFL draft as it builds up, because he just mentioned he's going to put up his final mock, and then we will have the actual draft tomorrow. I'm very curious the wide receivers in this. It's a very defensive-heavy offensive line draft. Not a lot of quarterback stuff. It's like Mendoza, maybe Ty Simpson will sneak in at the first round, but we'll have to kind of wait and see on that one. Receiver is always interesting because we know how important the position is in the league, and having a premier one is vital to a lot of these young quarterbacks in these situations. When you look at the group, it's been a lot of Carnell Tate. There's obviously Tyson. He's picked up a lot. We know Lemon is in the conversation. It feels like Denzel Boston is entering the chat as well out of UW, of maybe he's the sneaky one here that sneaks ahead of most of these guys. I'm really just curious your thoughts on the wide receiver group. And when you look at them trying to predict the market of where's the first one in your mind and your estimation going to get taken?
So yeah, I think you're right. I think there should be six wide receivers that are drafted tomorrow night. The first one is, I think, definitely going to be Carnell Tate from Ohio State. You know, I think that he should be going at number seven to Washington. I think he could go earlier, but I think the most likely outcome is in that 5, 6, 7 range. So I think he's the first one to go for sure. He's kind of in the group on his own. And then I have a couple wide receivers. You mentioned Jordan Tyson from Arizona State, who has been a big riser. Coming into the week, you know, he had a private workout where he ran routes against air and looked really good. And people were suddenly like, oh, wow, yeah, like, he's really good. There's been a lot of talk about his injury history. That could be like a wild card. I think that he has some risk to him, more so than some of the other guys that I'm going to talk about. But really productive player. It's just the injuries are not like the same injury over and over again, or a soft tissue injury or something like that. Mekhi Lemon from USC, you know, he, I think, has been mocked a lot to the LA Rams. You know, I think he's going to go a little bit lower than that, but I expect him to be that second wide receiver. Mm. And then you get into the group of the Omar Cooper Jr. from Indiana, mm-hmm. the Casey Concepcion from Texas A&M, and the Denzel Boston of the world. Mm. So I expect six wide receivers to go in round one. I don't know how much of a surprise it will be. I think Cooper might go before Lemon. That might be the bigger surprise to people. I think Kate and Tyson seem like that's the order that they'll go in. And then afterwards, it could be a jumble.
Mm. Nothing better than talking quarterbacks. Does Ty Simpson end up going in the first round?
I don't have him going in the first round. You know, I have a number of rankings that I use in my data. And so I have my public model, and in my public model, you know, you'll definitely see him included in there. I think he actually just dropped off of my top 32, actually. And so I just think the buzz there is quite borderline whether he goes in the first round. It would involve a team trading into the first round to do that. And there's a lot of talk about how the fifth-year option is like a valuable thing for quarterback. I think that it might be for some other positions, but for quarterback, if you know your quarterback is good, it's kind of like probably makes more sense to kind of get ahead of things and just extend them long-term to begin getting that contract under cost control better by spreading out the money that's guaranteed over the years. So jazzed about having that fifth-year option and that they need to trade into the first round to get Ty Simpson. But I think this quarterback class is not very good. I expect only one other quarterback to go on day two, which is Ty Simpson, and I think there will be some that go on day three. But I think this class at quarterback is very weak, and that's what sets up this draft to be a bit more predictable, I think, than people think.
All right, good stuff, man. Talk about sexiness. That's Benjamin Robinson delivering you draft content at Grinding the Mocks on social media. Give it a follow at Grinding the Mocks. Check out his last mock draft before the draft kicks off tomorrow. And thank you for the time, as always, Benjamin. We appreciate you and all your draft content.
Thanks so much, guys. Keep being weird. Thank you.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Keep Portland weird. That's our whole city.
That's how we roll around here, man.
Motto, dude.
That's how we roll around
here. He's good. He's got good predictive markets on his Substack there as he's trying to predict what the actual picks will be.
He pivoted well out of your first question. That was good. You got a dodge, duck, dive, dodge. You gave him a which pick is the most sexiest in the top 10.
How do you think he felt with the rejoiner music?
I don't know if he's a big fan of R. Kelly, but I'm glad we're not canceling R. Kelly. Keep him around a little bit longer, all right? Separate the music from the artist.
The art and the artist are different there, Dirt.
Bump and grind gets me going every time I hear it, man.
A lot of weird painters, and we look at their paintings all the time in different countries, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yeah. Do I have to grind the Cowboys if Sadiq and Thiedemann go to the same team?
I think it's a little bit more than bumping and grinding.
What am I doing at that point? That's very conflicting. I don't know how to feel about this.
Is your takeaway there that he enjoys being on our show, or that he genuinely is like weirded out with us?
I think he's genuinely weirded out with you. Yeah,
because he said, you know what's sexy to me, randomly unsolicited.
He did give you one of those.
And
that's true.
It was like the keep being a weird thing.
That's true. You spend enough time with him, maybe eventually you win him over on your weird scale.
I think we're a weird body mole. Why are we there? When did we start existing? But
you
know what? You're kind of adding character to my body.
It's not going away at this point. We should get it checked out every year just to make sure it's not getting into something dangerous. But right now, it's kind of enjoyable.
All right. A lot more to get into. Dirt's break back with more on 105.1 The Fan. All right. Grinding the Mocks with Benjamin Robinson. I think he likes us. I think he's warming up to it.
I think he does, too. I think if we asked him after the draft, I think he'd come grind with us again.
Remember
the first time you grinded at a dance?
Oh, dude, the first dance we had was middle school.
The first grinding dance, what that felt like?
The first grind and the first grinding dance are two separate conversations.
Whoa.
I was at a very uncomfortably young age grind.
Yeah, how old were we talking?
Probably five.
5 years old grinding, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have known what grinding was at 5 years
old. Well, I didn't know what it was either.
But now you remember back to you were bumping and grinding?
Yeah, I just knew I liked it. The edge of the couch. What's happening? But in a dance setting.
We're talking like the arm of the couch? What were we grinding? I need details
Let's
here.
Let's move on here.
Wait, you J.D. Vance-ing me over there? When you're five? Dude, put it in your pants, man.
I'm not filing lawsuits. I'm not refuting these stories.
Did you just acknowledge humping a couch?
No, I was just joking.
I don't know if you were. I don't think you're pivoted now.
In a dance.
I think I made you uncomfortable.
Sixth grade. And it was an instant, oh, I can't do this very long.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't wear tight enough underwear today. We all remember it. We all remember our first grind. That's the beauty of it, man.
What are we doing to Benjamin here?
This is, I mean, just the idea of like, this is how we dance. We're just,
well, they don't really like kids.
Do kids grind anymore? Is grinding done?
No, I don't think, well, statistically, there's a generation not grinding as much.
People aren't grinding. Our birth rates are going down.
Yeah, it is. But I would say,
maybe we should make life more affordable.
It feels like dancing isn't, the dances don't seem as big.
Yeah.
Now as they once did. Like, my daughter had an eighth grade dance.
Sure.
And she was going to go to it. She ended up getting really sick. And she was actually bummed. She was just going to go to it for fun.
Yeah.
But she wasn't going to dance.
No, she'd go to hang out with her friends, probably.
Well, it was a masquerade theme. So she bought, like, this mask, and she decorated it. And she was really excited about wearing it and looking pretty.
It's a big deal.
But, like, they're not. We were going because we were going to play Missy Elliott or Sierra.
Yes, Nelly. And I remember what year that came out, but it felt like it was
like
around that time.
Like, for me, at Park Rose, the optimal goal of a Park Rose student in the 2001 to 2007 range, the optimal goal was somebody needs to come and separate me from what I'm about to be doing.
Yes. This is going to get, we're getting hot and sticky.
If it doesn't, if the principal does not tell you to get at a
separate
4 to 5 foot radius,
right,
you're not dancing correctly. And I'm not sure that's happening as much.
Yeah, I feel like grinding is going away slowly but surely, but I haven't been to a middle school dance in a while, unfortunately, so I can't tell you the answer to that.
Sure.
It is unique where I remember, like, getting to high school, we had a dance.
It'd
be
really odd if you had.
I mean, you never know. Maybe they need chaperones. This is funny because
I'm a kid in middle school.
No, I know. My niece is in seventh grade now.
Who are you? I'm just a guy.
I'm just hanging out, man. She's in seventh grade now, and it's funny to look back on, like, things that I was thinking and doing when I was in middle school. Of like, are there boys involved? Are you talking to anybody? It's like, if you go to a dance, is it just dancing with your girlfriends, or is something actually nefarious going on? And maybe she's just really good at hiding it, because I certainly was when I was a kid. You didn't let your parents know everything that you were doing. So there might be that component to it.
I also think we're killing as a society. I think parents and administrators, and I respect a lot of people volunteering and, you know, devoting their life to it.
Yes.
I volunteered at a dance in middle school for my daughter once.
Yes.
They're dancing with lights on.
Oh, come on.
And it's like,
come on, man. You got to turn those lights off.
It's DJ. It's teacher
DJ. Let them get
DJ,
weird.
It's,
let them get weird.
It's a two-story middle school.
This is where you learn
like
about
the lights
yourself,
are on,
man.
And then it's like a weird clicky, you know, the little group. Nobody
group
is,
over here, group over there. There's some punch over here.
Dude, our dances were at night.
Lights down.
Lights down.
Can't see anything.
Dude, we had a DJ. She showed up every year in middle school. We had a wheelchair DJ. And she rolled in there. Quite literally, and she was like turning on the ones and twos, and she played the right hits.
Yeah,
and
we're
not doing that anymore.
We had a girl in high school who broke her leg in the middle of a dance. I still don't know how that happened, but she started screaming in the middle of the dance. Everybody's like, what's happening right now? She somehow snapped her leg, and they turned the lights on in the Cleveland gym, and there was just like 100 fifth bottles that were empty all over the floor. And they were like, all right, you guys can't have dances again for a while.
Yeah.
They cut us off after that.
Crip walking was a big deal. Like, if you couldn't see walk, you get out of the middle of that dance floor.
These kids can access anything they want on their phones at any time. Let them go explore a little bit. Let them bump and grind. It's when you learn about yourself.
NFL draft tomorrow.
I'm going to bump and grind.
Feel super excited about that one, don't you?
Yeah, I can't wait, dude. How's it actually going to turn out? I don't know, man.
Well,
I don't know, but I'm excited to watch it.
I mean, to your point, though,
I'm just glad the Blazers aren't playing, because that would suck.
It would have sucked big time. Are you kidding me?
If they had a game tomorrow and we had to watch that simultaneously, not a fan of that. Not a fan of that.
I'm not a big fan either, but I will tell you, man. Like,
the NBA games, by the way, tomorrow on Amazon Prime.
Oh, really?
I hate to break it to you. I don't think anybody will be watching.
Really?
I shouldn't say nobody, because that's certainly not fair. Outside of the fans of those teams.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
It's behind. I have to. So I can't double box. If I could double box it, it'd be one where maybe I'm watching simultaneously. But if I got to open up Amazon Prime in order to get away from the NFL draft, I don't know if I'm doing that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know either. But overall, I think it's okay. And I think dances need to be brought back.
You weren't listening to a word I said, and that's okay.
I was listening. Amazon Prime. I'm just moving on. I can't get into Amazon Prime. We're against it.
What do you want from me?
Do we
here?
Need to be Amazon Prime thoughts at 7:59? We need to get to the third hour.
What's the matter with you over there?
Damn it. Dirt and Sprague, Hour 3. We got Statter Story, Hour 4. We'll get back to the Blazers. Back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.